In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we remember one of the great martyrs of the early Christian centuries, long before Christianity was legalized in the empire, when great persecutions popped up here and there. This man who we remember today is Saint Irenaeus of Lyon. Lyon is in France, and at the time of Saint Irenaeus, all of the Christian world was one. There was no division, no split into an Eastern way of understanding things and a Western way of understanding things. There was one Christian teaching that was being handed on to the third generation. Because Saint Irenaeus' teacher, Saint Polycarp, was himself a disciple of Saint John the theologian himself. And so we're very close to the beginning of the Christian life in the world, this new life in the world. Saint Irenaeus was born in the year 130 in the city of Smyrna, a city in Asia Minor. And there he received the best education of the time. He studied poetry and rhetoric and philosophy, and he studied the ancient classical sciences of the time that had been developed by the ancient Greeks. And as we say, when it came to the Christian faith, he was taught the truths of the faith by Polycarp himself, the disciple of Saint John, the apostle. Polycarp often told stories of Saint John and how he was taught by that apostle the very words that Saint John heard Jesus Christ speak himself. Remember, Saint John, writer of the fourth gospel, was the youngest of all the apostles, and so he lived the longest. He was one of the few who was not martyred. He was one of the two apostles that ran up to the tomb after the time of the resurrection. He had been there at the Last Supper. He had all of these memories fresh in his mind, all of the words of our Lord. He gave from his own mouth to Polycarp, and Polycarp handed them on to Saint Irenaeus. And late in Irenaeus' life, he wrote to a friend of his, we have the letter still today, and he said that he remembers having been a boy in Polycarp's house, and he remembered what Polycarp looked like, how he moved, how he spoke, the sound of his voice, and the things that he was told and taught by Polycarp, the disciple of Saint John the theologian. He said that the things that happened in that time are more real to me today than the things that are going on right now. These days we might call that long-term memory. In an advanced age, sometimes the events of your youth are more fresh in your mind and your memory than things that you try to recall from just a few hours ago. Maybe that was the case, but at any rate, Saint Irenaeus had this fresh memory of this teaching. And Polycarp eventually, when Irenaeus was grown, ordained him a priest and sent him to help the ailing bishop of the city in France that today we call Lyon. Once he was there helping the bishop in so many ways, it came that there was a letter that needed to be sent to the bishop of Rome. So Irenaeus took the letter and he set out on his journey to deliver the letter to the bishop of Rome, the Pope. Of course, that world was an Orthodox world. The Pope of Rome was an Orthodox bishop, a great defender of the faith for many centuries, pope after pope. So it's a different kind of world. While Irenaeus was gone delivering his letter, a persecution arose, and all of the Christians of his home city were thrown into prison, and the bishop himself was killed. When Irenaeus came back home, he was chosen to be the new bishop. And so he was elevated to the position of the Bishop of Lyon. The persecutions, as persecutions did in those days, quieted down after a little while, and Irenaeus set about his task as a pastor and bishop of that city. And he was known as a great teacher and a great preacher. He wrote against the heresies of the time, especially the Gnostics. And Gregory of Tours, who was a historian of the same generation, in his book on the history of France, wrote of Irenaeus that all of the city, while Irenaeus was bishop there, became a Christian city as a result of Irenaeus preaching of the faith that he had learned from Polycarp, who had had it from John the theologian. The Gnostics of that time, Gnostics in general, had a teaching that violently contradicted the very possibility of the Christian faith. They said that the physical world is evil. They said that it is impossible that God could have become incarnate and taken flesh, because the physical world and physical flesh are evil. They were created by lower, secondary spiritual powers. We would probably think of them as angelic beings. Lower, secondary spiritual powers created the world, and it is not good. What is good is a non-physical spiritual life, a life in the mind where you rise up beyond the body and disregard the body. And so Christianity, according to these Gnostics, Gnosis is a Greek word for knowledge, and they claimed to know that this is how things are. Spiritual life is not physical, just spiritual. And Christianity is not spiritual because it focuses on the physical. Here we are in this early time. Irenaeus would die in 202. It's very early. This direct contradiction between a spiritual life that focuses on the mind and thoughts and ideas and claims on the one hand, and on the other hand, the Christian faith that focuses on the actual living of life in the physical world. And Irenaeus taught against these heresies because the Gnostics claimed to be Christians. They had a spiritual interpretation of the Christian faith. And Irenaeus taught that, yes, this world is physical, and yes, God is not a physical being, but God created the physical world, and he created it good, and he loves creation. And because of the fact that he loves creation and he loves human beings, he wanted to make human beings like himself. Now, how could he do that? We are physical beings, and he is God. He did that, according to Irenaeus, by being born of a woman himself, and uniting our physical flesh and humanity to himself, so that Christ is co-bodied. We are co-bodied with God in Christ, according to Irenaeus. When we see Christ, we see the one who is fully God, as the later writers at the councils after Christianity was legalized, councils were held, and this was put into formal language. But St. Irenaeus is saying the same thing. When we look at Jesus Christ, we see the one who is a real human being, our flesh, but at the same time, God. And why did he do this? He did it because he wanted to be able to work with us, to work on ourselves in our actual lives in the physical world. Irenaeus compared the relationship between God and ourselves, the creator and the created, he compared to the work of someone who works in clay. We are made by God out of the earth, but God takes us and he puts water into us and makes us pliable. And he's thinking of the clay of our humanity. In order for clay to be pliable, it has to be filled with water so that it's not hard and break down to dust again. And the water that we have to be filled with, Irenaeus is saying, is the Holy Spirit of God Himself. We are created out of the dust of the earth. Well, we are softened by the divine water of the Holy Spirit. And God is able to take His hands and mold us as we individually are meant to be. We have some ideas that are contrary to that today in our own society, comparing the Christianity of the time of Irenaeus with our own time. We argue about the book of Genesis, and some Christian confessions say God created us exactly as we were meant to be in the book of Genesis. That's it. Human beings were created the way they were meant to be in the book of Genesis. Well, since the time of Irenaeus and our own time, a lot of things have happened in our understanding of the world. The idea that God is not actively involved in the world, God is not actively involved in our own lives, that became a very important idea a couple of hundred years ago. And it's become very widespread these days. But Irenaeus taught that God is not finished with His creation. In fact, He became incarnate especially in order to be able to continue to act more directly on His creation. We ourselves, we human beings, we are not finished. Creation is not finished. God is not done with His creation. He's not satisfied with it. Things have happened to it that He intends to repair. That's why He came into the world. And when we are born into the world, we are born into a world, as we know, where death is already present, things are radically broken. There is work that God needs to do with us. And if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, which St. Irenaeus says is like water making our clay pliable, if we are filled with that divine water, God can work on us. But sometimes the work flees the Creator, doesn't want the touch of the Creator's hands. When the Creator uses His fingers to mold us in a certain way, St. Irenaeus says that we should guard against losing the form that God has made in us. But we rebel, we want to go our own way. Reminds me of the story of Pinocchio, who wanted to be off on his own. Didn't want to be carved as the Creator wanted him to be, and ran off. That's what we do. The work of God runs away. And what happens when we run away from the hands of God? We become more dry. The water, the pliability that we have because of God begins to go away, begins to evaporate. We become hard and unchangeable and convinced that this is how we are meant to be. And because of the fact that Sharon has taken up pottery, I know some things about clay that I didn't used to know. She had some old clay from a class that she had taken up in North Carolina some time back, and it was still kind of damp, and I thought, you know, you could probably still use this. Get a little more water into it, and you could make something out of it. But her teacher told her, and she explained to me, that when clay gets too dry like that, you can't get more water into it. You have to let it get dry and hard, totally dry, and then you smash it. You smash it into dust, and then you put it in water, and then it becomes pliable, and then you can work with it. There are so many comparisons between our spiritual life and the way God works with us. And so if we flee His hands and we become dry, less and less of the Holy Spirit of God in us, God will no longer be able to work with us. And it may be that we have to reach that point that we are totally broken, completely broken down, so that then when we turn toward God, He can fill the dust of our lives with the life-giving Holy Spirit and begin to remold and reform our lives. And this is the kind of preaching and teaching that St. Irenaeus of Lyon gave to the people of that city. And it is a teaching that has a strength and a simplicity and a direct connection to the Scriptures that cuts out so many of those strange ideas that we've developed since those early Christian times. Let us think about ourselves. What is the state of our own lives with respect to our pliability for the hands of God, that He might mold us? Is our heart's desire to be molded and shaped by Him? As Irenaeus says, if we let that happen, God will make us into the perfect form of the person that we are meant to be. And He will gild us inside and out with pure silver and pure gold. And He will make us a perfect creation of ourselves as we are meant to be, if we let Him do that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.